Welcome to 30 Minutes on 91.3 KXCI Tucson. I'm Amanda Shager, joined in the studio today with Sheila Walensky and Samantha Bunkew from Our Place Clubhouse. And they are inviting us all to a celebration and exploration of mental illness through writer's eyes and the release of their new book, A Certain Slant of Light, taking place Friday, January 17th from 5 to 7 p.m., at 66 East Pennington Street. Sheila and Samantha, thank you for coming and bringing writers with you, which we'll be hearing from later. I'd just like to hear more about your project.
Well, thank you for inviting us, Amanda. I'm a board member of Our Place Clubhouse, which is part of the Coyote Task Force that also includes Cafe 54. And I've been a board member for about 6 or 7 years. And every time we had a board meeting, people talked about finances. I know nothing about money. And I'm a former educator and bookstore owner and now a writer and editor. And I said, I think we could get a writing group going here and put out a chapbook, a small book that talks about emerging from the shadows of mental illness, which is the subtitle of A Certain Slant of Light. I had been working with two writers for 2 years prior to starting the group in September 2012, Rachel, who is here today, and Ira, who is not, and they're both prolific writers. They both have serious mental illness, and it was actually about a week after the January 8th, 2011 shooting when I was working with Rachel, editing her writing, and we were talking, and she said, "What is it about people? They think that anyone who has a mental illness might pull out a gun at any time and start shooting." And that's not who the great majority of us are. So that really affected me. And I sat with that for about a year before I had this epiphany in 2012. I said, wait a minute, we can do something to help educate people about all of the misconceptions that people have about those with serious mental illness.
Hi, I'm Samantha. And I think what I would like to preface this project with is talking a little bit about the Clubhouse model itself. A lot of people ask, what is it that you do exactly? And I suppose the official title would be Psych Social Rehab Specialist, but that just sounds so particular. The Clubhouse model is a model that began in the 1940s in New York, and it really began as a human rights movement. What it was looking for was a way to empower individuals in their own recovery. And the way that it was designed was that that empowerment came from engaging in meaningful work activity. And so the model spread over the last few decades, and it's now internationally recognized as a best practice for adults that have serious mental illness. And what's particular about it is that the members of this model work side by side with staff to uphold all the tasks of the organization. So it's very work oriented. And at Our Place Clubhouse, the writing group was formed, and it really fit perfectly into that model because the members came together and were working on their verbal and communication skills, and specifically towards a project that was aimed at fighting stigma. And I think that what we found was that this process was cathartic, I think. When you go into a room and people begin writing, they go in one way and they leave another. And discussions arose, really, that made us realize that we wanted to share this with the world, that we are a little nonprofit 501c3 on Pennington Street, and we wanted people to know us for who we were, not as staff, not as members, but as human beings. And that's this is our step. This is our entryway into doing that.
You're listening to 30 Minutes on 91.3 KXCI Tucson. joined in the studios with Sheila Walensky, a board member, and Samantha Buncue from the Our Place Clubhouse, and just learning more about them in light of their book celebration, A Certain Slant of Light, on Friday, January 17th. What else should we know about the group?
This group, in terms of, I guess, my interest in mental health goes back a long time. Okay, having mental illness in my family back generations, I also taught psychology at Northampton Junior College when I was in graduate school in Western Massachusetts. And my introduction is called From Regret to Revolution in the book. I believe that people today know very little about the range of possibilities of people who have mental illness. I believe we're all on a spectrum of mental health. And often people who have mental illness are lumped into one big category, like what Rachel was saying about at any moment someone with mental illness may pull a gun. In fact, people with mental illness are far more often the victims of violence than the perpetrators. We have worked together on Thursdays for about a year and a half, 1 p.m. We sit in the boardroom at Our Place Clubhouse, and I have never worked with such a kind and appreciative group of people who are so straightforward and willing to share. Of course, I did teach high school and college, and maybe they're not as enthusiastic sometimes as this group of people, and I feel we have all become friends, and I feel so uplifted when I leave our group at 2 o'clock. I really would say that I love what this group has become.
I think something that I consider every single time that I walk into work is that we all meet each other where we're at all the time. And it's something to recognize that for some people, their greatest challenge in life might be climbing Mount Everest. And for some people, it is just to get out of bed. And I see that happen every single day. I go to a place where I see such strength in their resilience with the independent living issues that they face daily, and yet they still come, and not only that, they come with hope, and I think that echoes really strongly in their writing, and to me that was one of the most powerful parts, was their ability to find a voice outside of all of the outer pressures that society oftentimes forces us to fit into a box, and certainly what we're trying to do is break that down in this writing group.
I just want to add to that one of our goals is to, as Samantha said, to break down the shame and the secrecy that often comes with having a mental illness. And I believe that when people come to our event on January 17th from 5 to 7 p.m. at the clubhouse, they may not know who are the people who have the mental illnesses who they're speaking to. And I think people are always surprised by that. And I want people to understand that everybody has something to offer, as Samantha said, and I don't want people to feel that they have to hide the fact that they have an illness, when if you have cancer, there's an enormous amount of compassion that's rained on you. If you have a mental illness, you're shunned, and that is not necessary. I like to see the reduction of misconceptions about mental illness be the next civil rights movement. That's how I feel.
How can people find out more about your work?
We have a website, ourplaceclubhouse.org. And if people are listening who live outside of Tucson and they want to purchase our book, which is A Certain Slant of Light Emerging from the Shadows of Mental Illness, it's $12.95. They can purchase it on the website. It will also be available at Antigone Books, the University of Arizona Bookstore, and Mostly Books here in Tucson. But we really hope that you'll purchase it online, because then all of the proceeds go to support programs at Our Place Clubhouse, which is very generously supported by the Community Partnership of Southern Arizona and the Rehabilitation Services Administration.
Absolutely. And to add on to that, if any individual is interested in becoming a member of the clubhouse, they do need to be enrolled in the behavioral health services. And that's actually a very easy process if they talk to their case manager. But to begin that, they could definitely start by giving us a call. It's 520, our area code, 884-5553. That's 884-5553. And we've got a great place. People are welcome to come with their case managers and tour and meet and greet everybody.
You're listening to 30 Minutes on 91.3 KXCI Tucson. I'm joined in the studio now with Rachel. She's one of the authors from the Our Place Clubhouse Thursday Writing Group. And she will be also at the celebration for the release of their new book, A Certain Slant of Light, which takes place on Friday, January 17th, 66 East Pennington Street, 5 to 7 p.m. Tell us more about your involvement in the group.
I've been working on writing about mental illness for about for almost 10 years now. I started writing an autobiography because I thought that would be maybe like help people who are in similar situations in the future. I read I Never Promised You a Rose Garden. It really, really, really gave me a better grasp of my own illness, and I wanted to be able to do something like that for other people. I was sick for since 1988, and there have been kind of ups and downs. I keep on looking for like an apotheosis, and and yeah, you feel like you're climbing like a mountain. As soon as you get to the top of the mountain, nothing will be, you know, you won't be sick anymore. And I've been coming to grips with chronic illness, and the thing is, they can't cure schizophrenia, but or schizoaffective disorder, but at least the goal is to manage symptoms and to have as fulfilling a life as you can, like while you're experiencing these symptoms. It's not like psychological and part of your character as much as it is a biological illness that has psychological ramifications. And I'm trying so hard to deal with the psychological ramifications right now. I've been to, I think, 3 different therapy groups, and I've been to AA and NA and OA, different day programs that, and some of it's been good and some of it's been bad. I feel like I'm kind of like coming full circle now, because the past year I had 2 really good therapists, and to explain it, I'll read a selection. Okay, we live in relationship to everything around us, people, places, and things. When I was sick, I felt like I was standing behind myself, watching my behavior, but not being able to reach myself. But I was still there. When I started working, I had to engage myself again. It was so hard because a lot of schizophrenia is unintentional. Accidents in conversation, speech, and thought, and belief, and you just have to plow through it and do the best you can. Now I feel present again, and there's more responsibility with more engagement. Voices in my head are worse that I do here now, because the risk is greater. And that's the main thing that happened last year. All of a sudden, it's like I became present. I didn't try to put up some kind of like acceptable person to show to people. I didn't try to like anticipate what other people wanted, and like I'm not as afraid of not fitting in as I used to be, and that's been really important. It's like it's a really a nice Nin said that the pain of being in the bud is worse than the pain of blossoming. I realized something just yesterday. It's I was reading I Never Promised You a Rose Garden, and she was talking about she went to church, and she was saying she wondered how people knew how lucky they were to be like engaged just in real life, and to take it for granted that the days would follow each other in stately procession. And that, you know, people will follow like Euclidean laws. You know, things are supposed to make sense. It's not supposed to be the other way around. And now with voices, I kind of like have them coming and going sometimes, but I was at work, and I just realized how much better it was to be engaged like in real life instead of fantasy, and that took a long time. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us, Rachel, one of the authors from the Our Place Clubhouse Thursday Writing Group, and she will be, along with her other authors, will be at the release of their new book, A Certain Slant of Light, on Friday, January 17th, 5 p.m. at 66 East Pennington Street. And up next, we'll hear from Ida.
Hi, everybody. This is Ida. I'm a member of Our Place Clubhouse and the Thursday Writing Group. And I helped write a couple of things that are in the book that we're publishing. I'm going to read one of those things right now. Normally, I have ups and downs, but once in a great while, I have no needs. I am perfectly content with who I am and what's going on in my life. Those times are always transcendent, even holy moments. Just seeing a patch of light and looking at one little corner and looking in one little corner at nothing. I have everything I need. I am everything I need. Thank you, God Self. And I first joined Our Place Clubhouse in 1997. After I moved to Arizona here 20 years ago, and I was doing a lot of grieving of missing my children who stayed back in Virginia, and I didn't really know how to take care of myself, because it had been my parents took care of me financially, and then it had been my husband during the 80s. And then for when I was alone and when the money ran out from the divorce, I found myself becoming homeless and reaching out to anybody for a source of help. Therefore, I found the mental health community in Tucson and reached out to them. They've helped me grow. I found wonderful friends like Rachel and the other members of the writing group, and be able to contribute something and have more self-esteem. And I'm really grateful for Our Place Clubhouse and everything related to that, and the mental health community, which is now talking about recovering from mental illness, which never used to be talked about in the past. So I'm really, you know, either I'm lucky or I have good karma to be able to, you know, and do things I've been able to do to help out, just like being in this writing group and helping a little bit to put something in the book and just support the other people who I feel like are the shining stars of writing, like Rachel.
I'm Doreen Scherf, and I'm going to read an excerpt from the book. I am very creative, always looking around corners for things to say. I observe people, places, and things. This lends itself to a kind of motion or movement forward. However, sometimes in depression, my thoughts and actions are static. I don't move much and very little moves around me. My brain always thinks about hope, though. Whether or not I feel or express hope depends upon my mood. Medication has a lot of control over my brain. Sometimes this is positive, and sometimes this is negative. I can't always count on it, so I turn to therapeutic activities to boost my mood if I can manage to do so. I'm also an artist, and a lot of my art is on display at Cafe 54.
Thank you, Doreen, one of the authors who will be at the celebration for the release of the new book of the Our Place Clubhouse, A Certain Slant of Light, that book release taking place January 17th at 66 East Pennington Street. Joined in the studio now with Vernon E. Neal. Talk about how you became involved with the clubhouse.
I got involved with Cafe 54. I was getting trained there, and people found out I was a writer. They said, well, why don't you get involved with the Thursday afternoon writing group? I said, okay. And what's so nice about it is all of us have different disabilities, but if you just look at us, we're just everyday normal people. Well, if nobody ever asked us what our disabilities or things were, they wouldn't know. But what the writing group did, it gave all of us a creative chance to write how we look at our lives and what we can contribute to society. For me, I guess it gave me a challenge to get more creative and do what I needed to do as a writer. I got a chance to meet some interesting people, and the one thing I did after we got the book all put together and everything else, I wrote name poems for each of my co-writers. I have this gift where I can sit down and take people's names and write poems or write what I see, you know, each letter of their name. So when I handed it to them, they looked at me and they were like, what's this? I said, well, this is my gift to you guys. And they, you know, they were happy. You know, I think I did a pretty good job what I said about each one of them. Because I observe people and I think, well, this is my thing to do for them. The clubhouse gave me a chance to be creative as a writer. This project gave me a little more feeling about how I wanted to express what it felt like to deal with a disability and still, you know, get in there and do stuff in society. Because each of us have a different skill and ability. And now with the book, I guess people who, quote unquote, don't have a disability in a sense, they'll find out how we deal with that situation.
Do you have anything else to add, Vernon?
I think what it did for me more than anything else, I met a group of people who accepted me, and I think they really like me. I hope. You know, it's you don't know how things are going to work out when you meet a new group of people. But I think most of the people in the group have accepted me very well. And at the clubhouse, you feel the same thing that the staff and everybody else is there to help us. So this is sort of like, in a sense, a therapy type thing if you look at it. We were able to put something on paper to tell people how we deal with what we had to go through every day. And I think my fellow co-writers would agree with that. Otherwise, we would never have done what we did.
You're listening to 30 Minutes on 91.3 KXCI Tucson. I'm Amanda Schager. Joined in the studio today with authors from the Our Place Clubhouse Thursday Writers Group. And up next, joined in the studio by Pam Lipschutz.
Hi, I'm Pam Lipschutz, and I'm a member of Our Place Clubhouse. Been there for about 5 years, and I love to write. And this project that we've been working on has been very empowering. I, unlike some people, I've been dealing with mental illness and physical illnesses since I was a child. So, whereas other people in their young adult life have been affected more by mental illness and have been blessed with having pretty good physical illness. What started me in this project, I wanted to be able to express through my writing that people with mental illness are actually pretty much like a lot of other people are. At least we know we have it and we're getting help for it, whereas some people don't and are not getting help for it and really do need the help for it. I've got a couple of readings here that I'd like to share, if that's okay. First one, Not So Sweet 16. I'm just entering high school and had a morbid fear that there was something seriously dangerous about the place. In fact, I was projecting my own serious anxiety about whether or not I could survive. I missed grades 4 through 8. Don't you need a foundation on which to build one's education? They put me in special education homeroom as a freshman. Looking back, I really matured that year. My first year in special ed, the teacher was giving a tour. He pointed to me and said, "She's mentally disturbed." I was 8 years old. The kids called me Hopalong Cassidy because I would hop when walking, part of my obsessive-compulsive disorder. I wore back braces from the age of 7 to 18. I became the back brace, losing my core identity at a time when other kids were going to school, playing, and making friends. My little sister sang Scoliosis and Neurosis to the Chef Boyardee jingle. In my 20s, when introducing myself, all I could think of to say was, "Hi, I'm Pam. I used to wear a back brace and I was in special education." Now, around 40 years later, postmenopausal, my attitude has changed. When I came out to myself, it wasn't just about being bisexual. I began finding my core personality with the help of a therapist I saw for 11 years. I realized I had numbed myself of all emotions since childhood. The hurt little Pammy was inside Phoenix. My chosen name because I have come out of the volcanic ashes with beautiful golden lace wings to fly up into parthenogenesis, recreating myself. With the help of medicine and cognitive therapy, I have become a force to be reckoned with, but I'm also cute, gentle, and have a lot of love to share. I want to help others who have survived trauma to find their inner strength. And the last one, Power to the Behavioral Sciences, right on. The physical sciences are considered legitimate. Why are the social sciences delegitimized and diseases of the brain stigmatized? Physics, for example, intersects with many interdisciplinary areas of research, such as biophysics and quantum chemistry, and the boundaries of physics, which are not defined. New ideas in physics, often explain the fundamental mechanisms of other sciences, even opening new areas of research in philosophy. So why aren't the social sciences given as much credence? Behavioral health, understanding how the brain functions and malfunctions, is laden with mystery and fear. When studying areas of physics such as thermonuclear bombs, our interest lies in how big, destructive, and clandestine scientists can make the destruction of the enemy, other human beings who we refer to, separating them from us. If we spend more of our resources studying ourselves instead of building methods of human destruction, the Earth would be better off. The social and behavioral sciences need to enter a new era of research. Why do some cultures permit certain behaviors while others do not? Why is there shame in having behavioral disorder? Social and behavioral pathology may be far more difficult to understand than the physical sciences because we fear looking at ourselves. Any one of us can have behavioral disturbances or diseases of the brain. We stigmatize what we don't understand. Life can be traumatic. I hope this chapter and the book has given the reader pause. Let's stop being afraid of ourselves. So those are some samples of some of the things that I wrote. And I really hope that this book will cause people to stop and think, gee, mental illness, maybe some of the old prejudices and stigmatization from the 60s, 70s, actually the 30s, 40s and onward, or going way back in history when we were chained up, put into the ground, and having to live in our own waste products and treated like animals, will change over time, and hopefully they will start to use the technology that we have to be able to study the brain and figure out why, if this person has schizophrenia, like if you have five people with schizophrenia, they're all very different in how they manifest their symptoms. Some of them you can tell, whoa, they really are sick, and others, they pass as, quote, normal. And unless you have any other questions, that's pretty much what I have to say.
Thank you for joining us, Pam.
You're welcome. Thank you for the time.
And up next, we'll hear from Tyrone.
My name is Tyrone Searcy. I've been a member at Our Place Clubhouse since about 1995. I've been there off and on over the years. I've worked a little as well. Our Place has been able to help find, you know, jobs for me over the years, and I've been able to work and go to school as well for a while. I am very thankful for being part of this this group as well, this writing group, because it allows me to be creative and to, you know, open my mind up to other situations and other people's ideas about mental health itself. The chapbook is a conversation which expresses our perspectives on lives affected by mental illness. It brings a focus that allows us to talk about our daily lives and what we care about. It also allows us to show other people that we're just like them. We get up in the morning, get ready for the day, and go out and face life just like everyone else. I also like the fact that we're showing a human side of our lives. In our group, we are loving, caring, and respectful people who strive for decency and a place to participate in society. A majority of people who face mental illness are not out trying to hurt others or take advantage of our situation in life. We do face real struggles at times. Most people live with mental illness and brain disorders are productive in society and contribute to the advancement of the American dream. I also wanted to read just one of the pieces that I wrote as well. It's called Any Morning. The sun shines on any morning in the desert more than most. It brings warmth and magical delight. Many living things are fed deeply by the warmth in their souls. I take my time pacing myself through my daily existence. I don't ask the question why, I just live. I want peace and harmony to live with me, not fear and doubt. I want to be able to be free and calm in my spirit. I love the world when it is quiet and the inhabitants are happy with me. Trouble is busy elsewhere in the world. There's been situations in my life. That's why I say I like peace and quiet and everyone to be, inhabitants to be happy with me. I've had experiences in my life where when I was manic, I've had situations where people misconstrue my situation. They tend to think when I get manic and very loud and argumentative that I'm a very dangerous person. I'm just expressing myself. When most people are dealing with arguments and they want to argue, no one questions them for that reason. But because they know that I'm mentally ill and I can be manic at times, that when I get angry, he must be really manic. But I do have legitimate situations in my life when I can get angry. And other people, when they get angry, no one says that person's manic. But when I do that, they always say I'm manic. And that's why I find trouble sometimes. I've been in situations where I have been brought to hospitals and I've dealt with situations. simply because people have misunderstood me. There are situations when other people have been aggressive towards me, and I responded to them, but I was the only one that would be put in the hospital because of my mania. And that's something that was really tough for me to deal with at times, but you know, I just wanted to express that.
Thank you, Tyrone.
Okay, thank you.
You're listening to 30 Minutes on 91.3 KXCI Tucson. Our final author today from the Our Place Clubhouse is Dr. Scott Harrington.
Thanks for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Talk about your involvement with the clubhouse.
Well, I live with chronic mental illness. I'm also a licensed practicing pharmacist. I've been involved with the clubhouse going on a year now and just regularly participate in their activities. I volunteer there when I'm there. And in particular, I've become involved with the Thursday afternoon writers group. That's one of my favorite activities and one that I've been the most involved with, obviously, because of my involvement with the book. And I am a regular there, a regular attendee on other days as well, and participate in other activities. I find it very helpful to me. It really helps me maintain my recovery on those days when I'm not working. It gives me structure that work might otherwise provide, but if I'm not working that day, I have the structure that is inherent in the clubhouse. And I live on East Broadway, and I either drive or take the bus all the way downtown to come and participate and interact with the others. And it means a lot to me. Keeps me going. I'd like to talk a little bit about my piece in the book. I wrote a piece on the burden of secrecy. And what I'm referring to with that, what I was referring to specifically, is the burden of being both a licensed, practicing, working healthcare professional, in my case, and yet also living with the reality of serious mental illness. And I would say that's been the case for me since I was a small child, looking back on my history. I endured a lot of abuse as a child. My parents were very young and very troubled people. And then later on, I would be bullied and experience rejection in school and from my peers. And even as a working professional, I encounter obstacles. And I do feel that I encounter discrimination at times and maltreatment, which is not justified. Fortunately, I have a very strong professional record. I have 3 state licenses to practice pharmacy. I'm licensed in Nebraska, Arizona, and California. My professional licenses are all intact. I've never been disciplined by a state board. I've never made any serious errors that I'm aware of. I routinely get very positive feedback from patients, and I enjoy that part of my job. Another thing that I'm really proud of, too, is that I'm functionally bilingual, and so I'm frequently even able to help patients who speak Spanish in their native language with medication issues, and I take a special pride in that. In 2014, I'm planning to invest some special, not only money, but time and effort to improve my Spanish fluency for that purpose.
Talk more about your piece.
In the piece, I wrote about just the stigma of living, the burden of secrecy. What I mean by that is the energy it takes for me to pretend that I don't have mental illness, especially in the workplace, or even earlier in school. And I went to health profession school at the University of Arizona, initially College of Nursing. I was there for a year and a half, did not finish that program, and then later went to the U of A College of Pharmacy. And definitely felt stigma and discrimination and even hostility at times in both environments at times. I was not successful at the College of Nursing. I was later successful at the College of Pharmacy. But certainly did feel some stigma there, and then even more so in the workplace, and again, without good reason. I would rate myself as a conservative estimate as at least an above average pharmacist, and I am a published author in my field. I have my name on the cover of a major textbook used for nursing students, and for which it's about a 1,000-page book. I'm responsible for all of the pharmacology content in it. And that's about 3/4 of the book. And so I believe I'm very capable in my profession. And yet I've still experienced these barriers. Even now at one of my employers, I have repeatedly raised concerns about patient safety and regulatory compliance issues. And I believe, as an example of the discrimination that I experience, I believe that whenever I raise a concern, it is likely to be viewed as nothing more than a manifestation of my mental illness and therefore has no merit. And I've been repeatedly disciplined and even threatened with termination for my actions. And that's been a concern. And that's something that I'm fighting as we speak at this point. But I enjoy my job and I'm good at my job. And I feel very privileged to, you know, especially given the medical problems that I have and the mental health problems that I have, that I'm able to work as a professional and enjoy the privileges and including the income that affords me. I feel very blessed and fortunate, especially fortunate. Many of my peers, as you know, are either low income or sometimes even homeless people, and I don't have those burdens yet, and I'm really grateful, and I don't take any of that for granted. There is one more thing I'd like to add. I'd like to end on a positive note. In some ways, I regard it as a privilege to be seriously mentally ill. And the reason that I say that is what the experience has afforded me is the luxury, and I do think it's a luxury, of getting to know myself as extremely well as I have had to do to mount my recovery and maintain my recovery from mental illness. I have to learn as much as possible about myself and about my brain in particular and how it functions in order to move forward. And so it has forced me to do that. And yet at some level, in a certain sense, I see that as a luxury. You know, it is a privilege to have spent the amount of time, even money, that I've spent exploring myself, my mind in particular, to better understand my mental illness and therefore better be able to cope with it. And hopefully also be a role model to others and assist others when I can, reach out to my peers. For example, with volunteering at the clubhouse, for example. Also, along the same lines, as I've gotten to know myself as well as I have to maintain and promote my recovery from mental illness on an ongoing basis, and I believe this will happen for the rest of my life. But the other thing that's inherent in that is that it also, I think, has deepened my understanding of other people as well, and just the human condition in general, and I think that's been very valuable to me. It's given me a lot of insight, and it's also, I think, fostered in me a lot of compassion for people and just given me the realization that I think most people do the best they can with the resources they have. And my goal is to continue to be a positive role model for anyone living with a disability. I also want to be an activist for pharmacy. I am a fierce advocate of patient safety, medication safety. This is something I take very seriously. And I want to encourage other pharmacists to join me in that crusade as well as patients. And I thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you, Dr. Scott Harrington, one of the authors from the Our Place Clubhouse Thursday afternoon writing group. They've all joined together to create a certain slant of light emerging from the shadows of mental illness. And they're having a book release party on Friday, January 17th at 66 East Pennington Street. More information about Our Place Clubhouse can be found at ourplaceclubhouse.org. Thank you for listening to 30 Minutes on 91.3 KXCI Tucson. I'm Amanda Schagert.